welcome to this episode of Govody Dravod, Space to Discuss, a podcast about everything and anything related to small businesses, whether it's chatting with those amazing people who run their own business or the experts that can help them achieve that, who also run their own small business. This episode of Govody Dravod, Space to Discuss, is being sponsored by the enterprise team at Wrexham Glyndŵr University, delivering flexible, online, industry-applied short courses to develop your skills and support business growth. My guest today is Lloyd Hughes from Llama Accounting, the no-drama accountancy firm. Lloyd joins me from Blackwood. Hiya Lloyd, how are you this morning?
Hi Carol, I'm very well, thanks. How are you?
Yes, I'm very well, thank you. I've been looking forward to this episode only because I know for a lot of people, and myself especially, accountancy within my business is one of my weak points. So I'm really looking forward to chatting with you. And I bet you get told that all the time.
Yeah, you're certainly not alone. It's one of those things that most small business owners dread, I think.
Yes, absolutely. So we'll start from the start. You're starting a business. So you start up, you've got everything covered, you've got your Instagram account and everything, and then you need to think about accounting. So what's the first thing you need to do when you think about accounts and money and accounting within your business?
Yeah, so the first thing, which is probably the most important thing I would say, is to make sure that you're registered with HMRC. So you need to inform HMRC that you are in business. If you're a sole trader, just registering as self-employed. Obviously, it's a little bit more in-depth and you can't really start a company without having registered with Companies House and HMRC. But that would certainly be the starting point, I think.
Okay, so do you need to register with Companies House even if you're not a limited company, even if you're just self-employed?
No, so there's the two different types. You've got Companies House are for limited companies, but you've also got to register with HMRC for the corporation tax. Generally, you do both at the same time through the incorporation process. If you're a sole trader or a partnership, then it's just HMRC you need to inform.
Good, cool. Because I think we have a lot of our audience are people who might have a side hustle or do their normal day to day job and then have a business on the side, but they still need to register for tax, don't they?
That's right. Yeah. So if you're carrying out a business, there's something called badges of trade. So if you're, intending to make a profit, then you need to be registered with the tax authorities and declare your earnings from your side hustle or whatever it is annually.
Good, thanks. That's a good advice, because I don't think that a lot of people might necessarily realise that, because, they pay tax in their day-to-day work. They might not realise that they need to do the same for their side hustle as well. So that's really good advice.
Yeah, the HMRC will be after a slice of everything.
Unfortunately, yes. I want to speak to you a little about Llama Accounting now. How and where was Llama Accounting born?
So fairly convoluted story, I suppose. I worked in practice originally when I started my accountancy career. So there's two types of accountant. There's an accountant that works in an accountancy practice where you're doing accounts and tax work for lots of clients. And then there is what's called an industry where you're working within a finance department for a bigger company. So I left practice and I ended up working for a company in Caerphilly where I met my business partner, Matthew. So we just started doing it as a side hustle alongside the day job, just doing accounts and tax returns for friends and family. And then over time, they told their friends and family and it grew from there. So Caerphilly is officially the birthplace of Llama Accounting. We weren't called Llama Accounting then. It was just Hughes and Stern. But yeah, that's how it started.
Oh, great. And so when was that?
So that would have been about 2017, 2018. So we've been officially going for sort of 3 years, but it's really only been the last 18 months, I would say, that we've really taken it from side hustle to where it's going to take us, hopefully.
Oh, brilliant. And Where do you reckon it's going to take you?
It's a good question. I mean, it's taking us in the right direction. You know, we're bringing on more clients. We're helping more businesses understand their numbers. And then, yeah, the next steps are then, you know, potentially bringing somebody in to work for us and just continuing to grow.
Brilliant. Because I really, really love your branding, Llama Accounting. And it feels really approachable because, again, we were talking about the beginning about accountancy and accounting within a business being, you know, feared. And yeah. But I really like, the fact you're so approachable. And I think you've probably seen that has drawn in a lot of business for you as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So like I said just now, when we first started, we just took our name. So it was Hughes and Stern. And then we're trying to sort of push ourselves as a modern, forward thinking accountancy practice. But we've got a firm name from the 1870s. So we decided we had to change really to reflect our personalities. So the name Llama, it comes from you've got the double L from my name, the A right. for and then the MA is the first two letters from Matt's name. And then we find that there's an emoji for a llama. We've got the little icon, so the cartoon llama. It's obviously more approachable than something that sounds like it's been in existence for 100 years or is old fashioned in any way.
Yeah, no, I really love that. I never realised about the name. I thought it was just something fun that you might have chosen, but that's brilliant. That's really. Because something we've covered a lot in the series of podcasts is choosing a name and how do you choose a name? And, because it's such a difficult thing for any business to do, isn't it?
Absolutely, because that's ultimately your introduction to the customers, isn't it? If it's a nice, catchy name or an approachable name.
Yes.
You seem more friendly than a firm that's got just two surnames stuck together.
Yeah. So how, with your clients, how do you work with your clients? Currently I will hold my hand up. I see my accountant once a year and that's it.
Yeah. And that is the traditional relationship with your accountant. You know, there's somebody that you see once a year, maybe it's a couple of months after the end of your financial year. Mm. They work out how much tax you've got to pay, tell you how much tax you've got to pay, give you a bill, and then say see you next year. So we try to work more regularly with our clients. So it's what fits with the client really. Monthly is probably the optimum amount of time. So you're reviewing your numbers as you go along, and then we're almost becoming a finance director for your business rather than just somebody who's filing tax returns. Utilizing there's a lot of technology available out there now to help smooth the process. Of record keeping and such. So it's really about you've got the real time information, so why not use it?
Brilliant. That's a really good approach to have. This area is something that I definitely need to look at in the future for myself and the companies anyway. So I really like the idea of, monthly chats. I know I see pictures on Instagram, you go and visit your businesses and I bet that's nice for you to be able to go out and actually meet them and see what they do day to day in their business as well.
Absolutely. And then, because you're working with these clients regularly and you're seeing them regularly, really helps you understand their business, understand their pain points, what they're looking to do. And I think having up-to-date and accurate financial information, that's going to help the business strategy long-term for the business owners.
Mm. Oh, brilliant. What do you see are the common mistakes that businesses tend to do?
So there's a few. The most common one, or the one that probably causes the most problem, is not separating the business and personal expenses.
Right.
Which is really easy not to do when you're when you're doing a side hustle. If you're doing a side hustle, you don't see any reason really to separate the transactions from your personal bank account and set up. It doesn't necessarily have to be a business account, but it's a really good idea to have a separate bank account, for your your incomings and your outgoings that are business related, because when it comes to the, you know, producing the accounts, whether it's regularly or whether it's once a year, it becomes a bit of a chore then, you know, to trawl through your entire bank statements for the last year and say, well, was this Amazon purchase business related or was it personal? Yeah. So it's a good idea to separate those expenses. The other common mistake, I think, is leaving it too long, so burying your head in the sand potentially, where we've talked about people don't really like doing it. And I don't know about you, but if I don't really like doing something, then I probably leave it until the very last minute before I do it.
Yeah, that's me, unfortunately.
Yeah, so when it comes to January and you've got your tax deadline looming, there's nothing worse than sort of finding out you owe the revenue a couple of £1,000 2 weeks before it's due. So getting it done in the most amount of time, so that, you know, there's the biggest amount of time possible between you finding out how much you've got to pay and you actually having to pay it, is a good idea.
Yeah, so good for business owners there to see what the common mistakes are and hopefully trying to avoid them.
Yeah, absolutely. It's all about avoiding the mistakes. I guarantee if you leave it last minute 1 year and you end up with a bill that's due in a couple of weeks, that's a pretty brutal lesson, you know, to not leave it late next year.
Yes. You'd hope so anyway.
Yeah.
So we've talked about accounting so far, and I'm sure people also have heard of bookkeeping. So what's the difference between bookkeeping and accounting?
So bookkeeping it's part of the accounting process. So the work that a bookkeeper does and the work that an accountant does, it overlaps quite a lot. I think the explanation with bookkeeping, you're focusing on recording and organizing the financial data, and then accounting is interpreting and presenting that data. So think of filling in a big massive spreadsheet and categorizing all your expenses. That's bookkeeping. And then turning that into a profit and loss account is accounting.
Right. Okay. But bookkeeping is kind of something that you might be able to do yourself within your business, isn't it?
Absolutely. And especially if you're using some form of software, a lot of the bookkeeping is moving towards automation. It's probably semi-automated at the moment. It's moving towards automation, yeah.
Oh, good. Because at the moment, I'm doing all my bookkeeping on Excel. So it's definitely something, again, I need to have a complete overview of my accounting and bookkeeping practices. So
Definitely.
Is there anything you can recommend within bookkeeping wise?
Yeah, I mean, I would certainly recommend you taking a look at one of the cloud bookkeeping options that you've got, or cloud accounting options that you've got. So the main ones being Xero, QuickBooks, or FreeAgent. And what you'll do using those is, rather than you sitting there and inputting everything into Excel, it draws the information from your business bank account, puts it into the software, and then you assign it, you know, with a click of a few buttons. So you're doing your bookkeeping in probably a quarter of the time, I would estimate.
So time saving as well.
Massively time saving. Yeah, it's probably the biggest change, I would say, that I've certainly seen in my career over the last 5 years, possibly, is that change from people coming in to see you with a bin bag full of receipts and you having to sit there and manually put them all in. Moving from that system to the system now, where things are, like I said, semi-automated. You can't say they're fully automated because you've still got to assign them. The software does quite often try and guess what it is, and over time it gets much better at learning, you know, what an expense to X business is. But you've still got to confirm whether it's guessed right. But that's probably the biggest change that I've seen over the last few years.
Yeah. Does it work with all banks, or is it just the high street banks, or does it work with?
No. So works with all banks as far as I'm aware. It's part of, it uses open banking. So I think all banks use open banking, and it's just pulling through date, payee, and whether the money's gone in or come out. and yeah, the integrations with you know, some of the newer banks are probably a little bit better than the integrations with the the traditional banks. Yeah,
yeah, because I've seen a lot of people moving more towards the digital banks now. You know, your Monzo, your Starling, so absolutely. It works with them.
Well, yeah, works with them just as well. Yeah,
yeah. Oh, that's good to know. Where do you find that most of your clients come from? Is it word of mouth? Is it social media? How do you drum up business?
At the moment, I would estimate over 90% of our business is referrals from existing clients. So that's how we've grown really over the last 12 months. So we've grown quite a lot over the last 12 months, and it seems to be, you know, the more clients that we have, more referrals that we get. Social media then is the other side, and so we use Instagram quite a lot, which I'm not sure a lot of other accountants do. LinkedIn is what we're always told we should be using, but you know, from our experience, I don't think we've ever had a client from LinkedIn. They've all come from either Instagram or Facebook. And I suppose you've got to look where are your clients. Our clients are not really on LinkedIn. No. They're on Instagram. So that's where we've got to be, I think.
Because I was going to say that, because your branding is so visual, and obviously Instagram is the visual platform.
Yeah.
I think that definitely, because it definitely caught my eye. And just to, for our audience, you might have seen Lloyd's name on the gova.spaces website, because Lloyd has very kindly contributed a few articles to us about accounting. So that's how I came across you, was on Instagram. You looked approachable. I liked your branding. So, you know, I was immediately drawn to you. So I'm not surprised that that's where you get your clients from.
I mean, it's something we've struggled quite a lot with, you know, coming up with content for Instagram. So, you know, when we're looking at our clients' Instagram feeds, and they, you know, they're making things, or they you know, they're doing food or whatever, it's the content that they're creating, you know, it looks fantastic. What we struggle with then is, you know, we're creating a set of accounts. It's not really a very visually appealing thing. So we've had to work quite outside, I had to think outside the box quite a bit in terms of how we come up with content for Instagram. And a lot of the time we'll use our clients, because they are, you know, far cooler and far more interesting than we are.
And ultimately they're the ones that will pull in more clients for you as well, because obviously they'll see how successful your clients are and become, and because of the way they do their accounting. And, you know, it's kind of in a roundabout way, they kind of help you sell yourself, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's, you know, like I say, 90% or thereabouts of our business is coming from referrals from existing clients, which is nice and reassuring that we are, you know, we're working well with our current clients, because they're, you know, they're happy to refer their friends to us.
So I see that you've recently moved to Tramshed Tech in Cardiff. If our audience will remember, Aled from our chat a couple of weeks ago from Lumen SEO, also based there. So it looks and feels like you've got a nice community of businesses going on there.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, the things that Aled was speaking about, that community feeling is, you know, it's really a strong appeal for moving to the Tramshed. It can be quite lonely as a business owner, or, you know, a self-employed person, where you're working for yourself. And, you know, in the past I've worked in organizations with, you know, 2,000-3,000 people, and you have that, you know, that day-to-day small talk, I suppose, or, you know, not everything has got to be about work constantly. And that's what the Tramshed really brings for us. You know, it also looks really, really great. And if you're having meetings with potential clients there, you know, it's a bonus, but you know, we're really, really happy there, probably one of the better decisions that we've made over the last 3 or 4 years.
I was telling Aled, and I'll tell you again, I am coming to visit at some point when we're allowed to travel a bit more freely, and you know, I can come down to Cardiff I will definitely be popping in to say hello and just to have a visit, because I've heard so much about it and kind of seen so many pictures. It would just be really nice to come in and kind of feel the vibe, really.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the other thing I think that we get from it, is because there are so many other businesses and entrepreneurs based there, you almost feed off their energy. It's part of the reason we like working with the clients that we work with.
Yes.
Is, you know, you're seeing the passion and the drive and the work ethic of these entrepreneurs, and you can only sort of benefit from a little bit of that rubbing off on you, I think.
Yeah, because I think that's a problem for a lot of small business owners, because they work on their own. I know I've experienced this myself in the past. You know, you work on your own. It's really difficult to keep yourself motivated all the time, you know, because I work well bouncing off other people quite a lot. So, but I'm lucky to have my partner, Kieran, here, who also runs a business. So we kind of bounce off each other. But I think it's a really good thing to have that space to be able to work independently. But there are other people around you who are going through the same thing.
Absolutely. And, you know, there are little questions. I think Al had mentioned, you know, if you get a letter from from HMRC, or, you know, something, if something happens in your business, there's going to be somebody sitting fairly close by who's had a similar problem that can either reassure you or tell you what you need to do to fix it.
Oh, great. I'm so glad that you're all kind of, you all found each other there. It's just really nice to kind of to hear, really.
Yeah. Oh no, it's great. It's great.
A lot of small businesses that might be listening to this might not even need to worry about VAT at the moment. But if you can tell us what the VAT threshold is and what it involves in being VAT registered.
Yeah. So the threshold at the minute is 85,000. So you don't need to register for VAT until your turnover for a rolling 12 months. So it's not your financial year. It's a rolling 12 month period is over 85,000. Once you hit that threshold and you expect to stay above it, then you need to register for VAT. What that means is then you need to charge 20% VAT on all of your goods or services, as long as they're not exempt or anything like that.
Right.
To your customers. Mm. So effectively, in accounting terms, then you would add up all the VAT that you've charged to your customers, and then deduct all the VAT that you've paid to your suppliers, and the difference then is paid to HMRC on a quarterly basis.
Right, so you have to submit quarterly.
Quarterly. You don't always have to. You can join an annual accounting scheme.
Right.
There are various VAT schemes that you can look at. And you know, an accountant would be able to point you in the right direction in terms of whether it's worth it or not. But generally, the majority of people will be doing them quarterly, yeah.
So say now that you're a business that charges X amount for their product, and then all of a sudden they find themselves above the threshold, do they then tend to have to add the 20% onto the cost of their product, or do they kind of have to keep it within and find that 20%? How do they normally work?
It's up to the business, really, and it changes on a business by business basis. So if your customers are VAT registered, then it's not really that much of a problem in just adding 20% on to what you're normally selling them, because they're able to claim it back.
Yes.
Where the issue causes problems for businesses who suddenly have to VAT register is when they've got to add 20% on to their normal prices to, you know, the general public who can't reclaim that VAT.
Yeah.
So you don't have to add 20% on, but what you'd effectively be doing then is giving away 20% of your cost.
Yeah.
So it can be a problem for businesses to reach that threshold quickly, which is again why you want to be looking at your numbers regularly, so you can say, well, if it keeps going like this within 6 months, I'm going to have to register for VAT. So it's about preempting those problems. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, good. Maybe some of our audience might not even have to think about VAT, but for now, but it's just good to know, you know, should it arise in the future.
Yeah, and that's it. It's if you're looking at it, if you're looking at your numbers regularly, then you'll have an idea. You know, maybe not straight away, but certainly further down the line, you may have to register for VAT.
Oh, good advice. And then moving on to something else that some of them might be able to do, might have to do, is employing staff and payroll. Yeah. So it sounds really complicated. Is it complicated?
No, it's a fairly from an accounts and tax point of view, it's fairly straightforward. From a a legal HR perspective, you probably need going to want somebody a little bit more qualified than I am to guide you through that. But from an accounts perspective, you've got to file an electronic return to HMRC every time you pay a member of staff.
Right.
Again, there's with the change to making tax digital, this came in a number of years ago. Generally, you've got to use third-party software to do it. So you pay your employee X amount. The software then tells you how much PAYE, how much national insurance you've got to deduct. So you pay your member of staff minus tax, and then you pay the tax over to HMRC on your employee's behalf. But it's a straightforward. It's daunting. Again, it's another daunting thing, I think. But in terms of what you have to do, tax and national insurance wise, it's pretty straightforward. I think the more daunting thing, certainly for us, would be making sure that there's a contract of employment, and that you're paying them above the minimum wage or the minimum wage, because that's the legal requirement.
And then the softwares that you were talking about earlier, the Xero and your free agents, they've got the capability to do that within.
Yes, within those. So with some of them, you may have to pay a little bit extra for access to their payroll module. But the cost is it's not a massive amount. It's a small monthly fee to be able to file these real time information returns.
Oh, good to know. I don't think we can go through. We haven't been able to go through any of the podcasts, I think, without mentioning what we've been through over the past year. Probably for a year and a half by now.
Yeah.
Has it affected you in any way, or how have you?
Well, I mean, it affected us in terms of we had to move from, we were part of the NatWest Accelerator scheme. So we had office space in a shared office environment in the middle of Cardiff.
Right.
And that closed. So we had to go to work from home. Me personally, I quite like the the change working from home, so yeah. I don't have that commute to Blackwood, from Blackwood I should say, to Cardiff every day. What I struggle with a little bit is setting myself boundaries in terms of stopping work. So I found that I probably worked a lot more over the last 18 months than I maybe would have done previously. But we've also we've grown quite steadily over the pandemic, and I was reading a thing the other day that was saying 2020 it was a record number of new businesses starting. So I don't know whether the pandemic has given people time to reflect, or maybe pursue turning a hobby potentially into a business. So we've got a fair bit busier over the last 18 months. My business partner, Matt, really, really struggled with moving to working from home rather than the office environment. So it's been hard in different ways for me, I think, than it's been for him. And it's, probably people listening, it's been hard in different ways for them. One of the hardest things that we as a business had over the last 18 months really was making sure that our clients were okay, because obviously if it's great that it hasn't affected us, but if it's affected our clients, our clients that we've got in hospitality or leisure retail that were actually forced to close, it's making sure really that they had access to all of the various funding things that the Welsh government were announcing and that the UK government were announcing. So it was quite frantic sometimes trying to keep up with certainly in the early days when you'd have the Chancellor of the UK government announcing something on one morning, and then the Welsh government announcing something different in the afternoon, and it's making sure that, because, you know, we were watching it live, and as soon as it was finished, we were getting calls from clients who were also watching it live. So it was really about trying to summarize what they'd actually said as quickly as possible and get that information out to our clients.
Yeah.
You know, as quickly and as simply, I suppose, as possible.
Mm. No, you going back to a previous point you made with within that is that a record number of businesses were born in the pandemic. And I think it's a mixture of people either having lost their jobs and having to do something to survive, or, you know, working from home and having a bit more time to do hobbies, or and then kind of realize, oh, actually, I could make a little bit of money out of this. So, and actually, Gofod.space is actually a pandemic-born business. Only because I saw so many new businesses starting and thinking, I think they probably need a bit of support. So, and it's been really nice to see so many new businesses starting. And I think, you know, and the whole movement about shopping independently and supporting local and supporting your small businesses. And it's just been an absolute delight to see.
Yeah. And you know, that's been a big thing, I think, of the risk for, you know, the small businesses that are in your particular town or your particular village. You want them to be there after, you know, when we're back open. So it's really important, I think, to support those businesses. And I think working from home for a lot of us has given us more opportunity to see what's local as opposed to what's near the office.
Yes. And also being stuck at home, you know, you were forced in a way to use your local shop and, you know, rather than go to the go a bit further to your supermarkets. And I think hopefully, I'm really, really hoping that people will continue that. I don't want to call it a trend because it's not a trend.
Yeah, but,
I really hope that people will kind of beyond this, just continue to shop local, shop independently. And I really think they will.
Yeah. Well, I hope so as well. It's certainly certainly something I think about a lot more now, maybe than I did previously.
Mm. Talking about being at home much more and you saying with boundaries, do you actually have time to relax and what do you like to do to relax?
Yeah, I do. I try and switch off as much, you know, not as much as I can. That would mean I never did any work, but, you know, outside of my working week. So yeah, I've got two children. So a lot of time is taken up with taking them to their various sporting activities. You know, I like getting outside and walking, cycling. I read quite a lot and I listen to a fair amount of podcasts as well. And probably a mix between business and I think you can't constantly be thinking about business.
No.
You do need to switch off sometimes.
Yes, and I think I'm terrible at not being able to switch off, but what I find when I do switch off and put my mind somewhere else is that I actually get more inspiration and actually because I'm clearing my mind of all the whatever's going on in my head with the businesses. You know, it's at that time I kind of get clarity. So I am terrible at switching off.
Yeah, and you do. I think that's true for me as well. Is that if I'm trying to find an answer to something to do with, you know, running the business, it probably comes to me when I'm not really really thinking about it.
Good. And I think we'll finish off is if you can share. I mean, you've already shared a lot of tips with us, but what is the? Just give us a couple of things that are the biggest kind of takeaway for our audience.
Yeah, so I've got five things I think I would say are fairly important. So I think we've covered a couple of them already. The first one would be to separate your business and your personal expenses. The second one then would be to utilize accountancy software if you can. The third one is your cash flow, so tracking your cash flow, because that is the it's a cliche, but that is the lifeblood of your business. You know, it's the second most common reason for a business failing is for them to run out of cash. The most common reason would be that, you know, there's no demand for the service or the product. So yeah, tracking your cash flow and trying to forecast your cash flow as best you can as well. So if you know you've got, you know, you've got expenses coming out in the next 12 weeks, it's sort of plotting them out. So you're making sure how you're going to cover those. The fourth one then, sort of related to cash flow, but that would be to put money aside for your tax bill.
Sure, absolutely.
And again, this one, point five, sort of relates to that as well in terms of consistently reviewing your financial performance, I suppose, because that's how you know how much tax you're going to need to pay. So you're putting it aside. And, you know, the more accurate and the more up-to-date the financial information you've got is, the stronger your strategic planning will be.
Oh, great. Thank you. They're really good, helpful tips. And hopefully everybody listening will have learned and gained something from our chat today.
Fingers crossed.
Yes. thank you very much for talking to me today, Lloyd. It's been really nice to talk to you. We've spoken a lot over email, and it's the first time we've actually chatted, which is quite nice. So thank you. Join us next time for another episode of Gofod I Drafod, Space to Discuss. This episode of Gofod I Drafod, Space to Discuss was sponsored by the Enterprise team at Wrexham Glyndŵr University, delivering flexible online industry-applied short courses to develop your skills and support business growth.